Hey, John.
Hi, Drew.
Do you want to steal some music with me?
Yeah.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hour Time, our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Do you remember where you were when when you first found out about a little thing called Napster?
No, I remember. No, I don't know where I.
Isn't that weird? Like, I mean, that was such a big deal.
Yeah,
for
and
a
I,
while.
I did use it.
Such a huge deal.
I'm trying to think, like, I can't even remember thinking it was a big deal.
You remember thinking it was?
I can't remember
can't?
That.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can remember using it, but I can't remember thinking, oh, wow, this is like, wow, nothing ever before. I can get music for free on the internet.
You were just like, yeah. There it is.
I think I was frustrated by download times.
Oh, gosh, yeah, download times, because
you'd queue up, you know.
Yeah.
Tons of songs.
Yeah, and then you just watch that status screen.
Well, it would only do, like, three at a time, right?
Yeah. Do you ever remember, like, you'd look for something, and you'd find it,
mm-hmm.
and the connection speed on it was, like, the upload speed was,
right.
56K or whatever.
That's right.
And you'd be like, son of a... And so then you would hit download, and you would come back, you know,
yeah.
when the summer was over, and you would get to listen to that song.
There were no guarantees that it was even that song.
Oh, my... Oh, no! Yeah, God, that was the worst.
You could... There was no way to know. I mean, you potentially could be downloading anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
It was the Wild West of music sharing. Wah, wah, wah.
Downloaded that on Napster.
Did you?
Probably.
You know, I have... I would try to download. I would be downloading because you could do. I think you could do videos on Napster too.
Huh. I don't know that I ever tried that.
Or maybe that was Kazaa.
Oh, it might have been.
But I would. I mainly would be downloading Dragon Ball Z videos. Because at the time I was interested in making my own music videos to set to Dragon Ball Z clips.
Oh, wait. You would. It was the song wasn't Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
It was just other music. But you.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you pursue this? Like, did you actually make these videos?
Yeah, I made one that I finished. I don't know what happened to it. I don't have it anymore.
Oh.
But it was. The song was Aliens Exist by
uh-huh.
Blink-182. And it was just a montage of stuff from Dragon Ball Z.
And
the great thing was that it wasn't even... I hadn't seen the majority of the stuff that I had clips from because there was a bunch of stuff that hadn't been brought over to the U.S. yet that was available online through these, you know, file sharing sites or applications. And... So I only knew about those clips from other DBZ music videos. And so I would basically just like kind of blind download DBZ clips hoping to get something good.
Ah. Did you ever feel bad about it?
No. I mean, I didn't. And when, you know, with Napster either, I didn't feel bad about it. I didn't consider at all like what I was doing. I was just sort of, you know, I was like, well, it's there,
right?
You know, and even when Metallica, or more specifically Lars Ulrich. You know, when he started to decry Napster, and I, like many of my like-minded friends, thought, you know, whatever. Get over it. You're a millionaire. And to a certain degree, I mean, that's true. He, dude's got
he
plenty
was a
of money.
Yeah,
he
still is.
You know, now I think I have a different perspective on that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think like that's the way it's got to be.
That's the way it's got to be.
But Napster was rudimentary, you know, looking back on it in hindsight, because it was, like we said, there's no way to know that you were getting what you were trying to get, right?
Yeah.
And as you said, it was reliance on the uploader's connection as much as your own, right?
You're at the mercy of other people.
Yeah.
Which is a hell of a place to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it. I think that is the way it has to be. But I feel like we're in a very weird place generationally.
Hmm.
You and I and at least a few other people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I talk to people. I know people who are very, very anti- downloaded music,
mm-hmm.
digital music. They are very anti-digital music.
Yeah.
They are strictly analog. You know, they stick to, I guess digital technically CDs would be included in that, but you know, they want a physical media.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the only way they will listen to. I mean, these are people who use online services,
yeah.
You know, like they're on Twitter and they use email and,
yeah.
You know, so forth. But when it comes to their music, they only want it in that analog format.
Right.
And then there are people who, like, I've literally been through this process where I've been with someone and that person has looked at, like, a CD or a vinyl album, uh-huh. or a cassette tape and genuinely wondered, what is that?
Really?
Like, who, yeah, they...
Well, this must have been, like...
kids, you know.
A kid, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're in this weird place where, like, at least speaking for myself, I can totally appreciate the physical media part of it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's definitely a part of me that not just accepts that, but likes it.
Yeah.
You know, definitely likes it. But then there's this other part of me that has absolutely no friction, experiences no friction whatsoever with acquiring music digitally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in fact, usually goes that route first, you know?
Yeah.
As the default choice. But it wasn't always that way.
There was a time where I was much, where I considered CDs physical music, physical artifacts of music,
mm-hmm.
to be superior, which was based on nothing. it's based primarily on not... Well, I think at the time that I had that opinion, there wasn't a predominant, you know, online music warehouse. You know, it was...
Uh-huh. This is pre-Napster, or...?
This is probably... Napster had probably come and gone by this,
okay.
point, but... I think maybe iTunes just wasn't what it is now,
yeah.
and you know, various. There weren't so many options,
mm-hmm.
for digitally downloading music,
mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Legal or otherwise, and so, you know, I sort of clung to the CDs, and I thought, and I still to some degree think, you know, I really like that you get, you know, that the CD booklet, the insert. You know, the case, the art, mm-hmm. you know, that comes with that. You know, I like the physicalness of it. The, you know, the art on the CD itself.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's the opportunity for expression.
Oh,
those
yeah,
things,
definitely.
You know, and I think there's, I just feel like they're still trying to figure out how that works digitally, because, you know, now. If you get, like, let's say there's like the deluxe, mm-hmm. albums you can get on iTunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll come with a PDF of, you know, the CD booklet, and it'll have album art, you know, digital version of it. And a lot of times you'll get some extra tracks or what have you. But there's something about, I think what it is maybe is with a CD, there's a permanence in the artwork that goes along with it. You know, there's sort of like they had to choose this thing, and this had to be the thing that represented that album, you know, like this had to be the artistic expression, the visual artistic expression of that album. That was going to be it, you know? So there was a sort of a permanence to that. Whereas with digitally, you know, they can make a piece of artwork for every song if they wanted to, you That's know, true. Which is also enticing or exciting, maybe.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm really torn on that because, I don't sort of wax nostalgic over a JPEG the way that I would over, you know, a CD booklet.
Sure.
Now here's the way I approach it now. This is the way I approach music now that I'm purchasing. If it's a band that I really like, if it's one of my favorite artists, then I always buy the physical copy. If it's a band that I'm, you know, not totally into, but, you know, want the album, or if it's a band that I'm not sure about, then I'll go digital first. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I'd like to happen. I think it's going this way. I would like it if when I bought a physical copy, right? Mm-hmm. Like new album from, you know, let's say Saves the Day comes out. Mm-hmm. I buy the physical copy from Amazon or whatever. Mm-hmm. I also get right then the digital download.
So you're saying before your physical copy arrives.
Yeah. Cause I want to hear it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I am right there with everyone else in terms of wanting that immediacy, but, I also do want that physical copy of it.
That's an interesting approach.
So that's what that's like with the Green Day albums that came out recently, I always got the physical copy. Mm-hmm.
That
was a great story, huh? anything recently that I've really, well, like Green Day, one of my favorite, you know, groups.
Yeah.
I thought, I want the physical version of this.
Yeah.
The thing is too, like in a world where more and more digital is the prevalent medium, there's still effort being put into making these physical copies. Now, I don't know if that's a holdover. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder who is pushing that. You know, is it the artist or is it the label or, you know?
Yeah. Well, I wonder. I mean, I feel like there's probably, at some point, they have an option, right? You know, or someone has that option. Somebody makes that choice that they're going to go down either both roads or just one or the other, you know? And I feel like maybe it depends. It changes depending on the situation, you know? In some cases, it might be the artist. In some cases, it might be the label. You know, labels, the bigger labels probably know that they still have to put things in Target and Walmart. And
I think there's still a very significant portion of the population who are not, you know, digitally savvy,
right.
who are still, you know, their main channel for music is through CDs, you know, or what have you.
Yeah, something physical that they can buy.
Yeah, and so I think that market, you know, it's going to exist for a while yet, but it's I think that we are on the decline of that.
I wonder.
There's a great if I can interrupt you, there's a great Portlandia skit. It's the it's like a fake commercial for these people who pickle things, and their whole shtick is we can pickle it. And so, like, there's a sequence of things, and they're like, something will happen. I'm like, we can pickle that. So, for instance, like, this woman's like, oh, my, what am I going to do with all these eggs? Like, we can pickle that, right? Like, this kid's bird dies or something, and they have a water burial, and they light it on fire. And they come by in a canoe, and they pick it up, and they're like, guys, we can pickle that. But then it cuts to the, like, this hard cut to a business office, like a meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, the guy giving the presentation is like, sales are down. No one wants jewel cases anymore. We have 18,000 of these things. What are we going to do with them? And he like drops a bunch of jewel cases on the table. And then those guys are there like, we could pickle that. But it was a great, I was like, yeah, what are they going to do with all those jewel cases?
What are they
going to
do with the jewel cases?
There's an industry that's going to be, you know, that's going to disappear.
That's the only thing that those things, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess maybe you could
jewel case them moguls are, but what are they going to do
the
in the
jewel
future?
Case moguls. About this, like, everybody, people, every time that happens, every time there's that shift in paradigms, mm-hmm. everybody is, well, not maybe not expected to, but there is the option, right, of reacquiring stuff you already own.
yeah
so like when you move from cassettes into CDs, you know, you can, you, there's that, there's an incentive there to buy the stuff you already own, but get it on the new format, right? Yeah. And it's the same with movies, but definitely, I think it started more with music.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you go
from here?
From here, that's what, like, you know, there, you have no physical product. The quality, I don't really see that.
They could, that would be it. I mean, There are a lot of people, well, I don't know if there are a lot of people, audiophiles out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like audio files, like an MP3.
Like, right.
But I mean like an audiophile, P-H-I-L-E.
With a pff.
Yeah. Audiophiles, you know, they don't like MP3s. They consider that poor quality.
Right.
And the, like, the file format, and I do mean file with an F in that case. the file format I see a lot is FLAC, F-L-A-C,
which is
high quality audio format.
Right, that stands for something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's an it must. It's an acronym, and I think even .wave.
Oh yeah.
I think even that's supposed to be better quality than an
MP3. Really?
I think so. It blew my mind as well. Wow. And I've always thought, like, well, what's wrong with MP3s?
Yeah.
Aren't those good?
Supposedly, this is the thing. You know, to make an MP3, they are, there's a machine, right?
Is there?
And it it actually removes bits of the original recording in such a small, insignificant, seemingly insignificant.
Know, right?
Right, yeah.
Until your
trivial amount of sound.
And this is to save on
to compress
space.
It. Right.
Yeah. But, well, so that, I mean, that would, wave files, I think, are generally bigger than MP3 files.
MP3s, well, then maybe that's
and
it.
And FLAC files, forget about it.
If you're talking FLAC files, yeah. You forget about it.
You know, there's a point at which I think, though, in that arena where you have to, like, max everything out. You know, you not only do you have to have the FLAC, but you have to have the right headphones and the right player. And you know,
right, right.
Like, if you don't have everything completely up to what it, you know, should be, then you're not getting... If you're listening to a FLAC on your earbuds, then you already, why bother?
Right, yeah. You might as well just cut your ears off.
Yeah.
You're not using them right.
But I think that that is the next thing in terms of, like, updating your library is quality. And then I think there's also something to be said for, and this isn't necessarily replacing your library so much as housing it differently is the cloud, right? Mm-hmm. The nebulous cloud in which all of our property sits together.
That's a nice thought.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like neighbors.
Yeah. With the cloud stuff, if you don't have a copy of it on your hard drive, then you're dependent on the upkeep of that service.
It's true. That's true.
Take, for instance, RDO.
Take it.
RDO.com. Right? RDIO.com.
RDO.
That I now subscribe to. Nice. I pay money to listen to their music that they have available.
This is streaming.
This is streaming. A whole other arena. The other day... It wasn't working. And I was like, God, I really want to listen to some music. And the only place that I have it available to me is RDO. And that is because, you know, there's a very specific set of music that I've accumulated there. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to something else.
This is a very life-changing moment for you.
But, you know, I was bummed out.
Sure.
And then I thought, well, now I really wish I just had that actual CD.
How often does that happen to you?
It happens more often than you would think, and not necessarily because of a service that's down, but more because all of my listening doesn't happen on a computer.
Right.
I do a very significant amount of listening in my car.
Sure.
And so that's really where I start to feel like, man, I just wish I had that CD or...
Man, that is so weird.
Or whatever, you know?
I mean, it's not weird. It's like, it makes sense, but I have sort of like the exact opposite. I find myself, or did frequently find myself in the car,
yeah,
riding around thinking, oh, man... Like, I'll have all these CDs, right? Yeah. I'll have, like, 10 CDs in my car, and I don't want to listen to any of them. That's because I suddenly want to listen to something else, and I can't.
10 CDs?
Yeah.
That's not a whole lot of CDs.
Well, I know, but, I mean, okay, so say I've got 30 or 50.
I think you're illustrating...
Say I've got one of those zipper things.
I think you are illustrating my point right now.
How so?
Well, because your entire collection is digital, you have no access to it in your car.
I do have access to it in my car.
Well, then what are you talking about?
I'm saying this is a scenario
from
the past.
You're making it up. You're making it
up.
You're telling lies.
No, I'm not.
You're spinning webs. You're telling stories. So you can...
I'm saying that digital solves my problem.
Yeah.
Because I have access to everything instead of just having access to whatever I can physically carry with me in a car at any given time. There was a time when I had like a couple hundred CDs, more than that.
Yeah,
maybe.
Man.
How am I going to take those with me wherever I go?
That's what I do now.
You carry all your CDs with you?
They're in my car.
All of them?
Not right now.
That's crazy.
But I used to.
Wow.
I realized that I didn't always want them all. recently. Recently. Very recently.
Yesterday. Seriously.
Within the last month.
When I was like, hey, let's talk about online music.
And you're I'm like, not kidding.
I should get rid of my CD.
Within the last month, I moved all of my CDs except for one book of them into the house.
How many CDs are we talking about? How many were you carrying around in your car?
I had two long books. Okay, so that's like two up CDs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Two of those full. Yeah. And I had three single CD, you know, things full. Uh-huh. Okay. And I had one four, like grid of four, full.
I can't believe you had all of this.
Yeah, in my car at all times.
What happens if somebody steals your car?
No one ever has.
Okay. Well, thank God. That's good.
You know, and it was great. Like I like you said, I would be like, man, you know what I'd like to hear is this. And so I'd, you know, grab it and listen to it. Now, I have recently, literally, like I said, in the past month, I decided, you know, I don't really want all these in my car. And I'm also currently involved in a music listening regimen.
Where, I forgot about this. Where, yeah,
you know, like last year I took on the iTunes challenge, a challenge of my own design, where I had to listen to every song I had in iTunes in order alphabetically. Now I'm sort of doing that. Analog, I'm doing it with all my CDs and listening to every CD I have in order.
and the goal of this is literally just to get to the end of the alphabet with all of your stuff.
That, I mean, yeah, but also the goal is to listen to stuff I haven't listened to in a long time, okay. You know, that I've abandoned for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something I get from my dad because he does... He has a huge, or had, this is actually very interesting. He had an enormous CD collection. I mean, filled the wall, like two shelves all the way up to the ceiling.
Wow.
And he would listen from A to Z and back Z to A. But anyway, at any rate, I'm currently embroiled in this CD listening scheme that I've placed upon myself. And if you're curious, I'm currently in the F's.
And you just started this in January, right?
Yeah. So for that purpose, I'm like, well, I don't need all the stuff in there. I just need, you know, the book that I'm on, basically.
Right. So you had all of your CDs, you have all of your CDs alphabetically organized in those things?
Yeah, I do.
And it doesn't...
That was an endeavor as well.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, because what happens if you, like, you buy something new and have to reorder everything manually?
Here's what's even worse, okay?
Oh, my God.
Here's what's even worse than that. So I took a night. I basically spent an evening organizing. And I got it all organized, and I found a couple CDs... You know, elsewhere in the house.
Oh no! And you
and
had
to put them in there.
Oh. You are proving my point. You think you're not, but you are.
What do you mean? Look, here's the thing. You know, an enjoyable experience or a rewarding experience sometimes requires effort.
Sure.
And we're becoming a very lazy race of people because everything's being handed to us and everything's being done for us. And we're also becoming a very entitled group of people. And I think that has something to do with it because we are not putting the effort in to, let's say, organize our music library. You have no true dedication or... stake in that library anymore because it's so easy to eliminate or add to.
There's still, I think, a little bit of work involved. What? And I'm not
what is it?
Saying that
click
it's not
click a button. Is that the work?
No, but the thought that has to go into the organization, you still have to. You're
what
still,
do you mean? Every program does it for you.
Not necessarily. What if your file names are wrong? Haven't you ever like put a CD into iTunes and it's like?
Well, I'm assuming this is. I'm assuming we're talking about the digital age, where
right.
you're buying from iTunes.
Okay.
In which case, you ain't naming nothing, buddy.
All right, but there are occasions where iTunes will have glitches.
iTunes currently is screwed. I mean, they for some reason decided to completely obliterate any semblance of organization they already had.
It is confusing in its current
I'm
iteration.
Not sure what they did. Well, here, but there you go. To a certain degree, you are beholden to their organization, the way they think that you should be viewing your music. And the
right.
odd thing is, I think iTunes, before this latest update, was much more customizable in that respect.
Yeah.
You know, you could sort of set it up the way you felt intuitively you would look for music.
Yeah, you could sort of customize the display.
And now it's just like, and even the search function in there is...
It's weird.
Abysmal.
It's very, very weird, yeah.
You know, and they sort of stand by it. They just don't want to admit that it's
yeah
junk.
Which, I mean, that's sort of their...
But I stand by my CD arrangement.
Once in a while, maybe you will feel the urge to break international copyright law by downloading MP3s from file-sharing sites like Morpheus or Grokster or LimeWire or Kazaa. But deep in your heart, you know the guilt would drive you mad, and the shame would leave a permanent scar. 'Cause you start out stealing songs, then you're robbing liquor stores and selling crack and running over school kids with your car. So don't download this song. The record store's where you belong. Go and buy the CD like you know.
I don't totally mean what I said in terms of like it's making us lazy and entitled, but I kind of mean it.
I think you're onto something.
There's
there.
Something to the respect one has for one's things when they are physical things and they are prone to damage or prone to disorganization.
Sure, sure.
And I there are good things that come from the digitalization of those libraries, and there are bad things.
I don't know that everybody is being transformed into a lazy person as a result simply of digital
yeah.
access to
you're
music.
Right.
But you hit on something there, that the entitlement part, which I think is problematic.
Oh man!
I mean, in a lot of different ways, entitlement is problematic.
I'm struggling with this. This is like the struggle of my. Of this era of my life, I think.
The entitlement struggle?
Yeah. And not only it's both an internal struggle and an external one. Hmm. Like, where do I fall in this debate? This concept of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should like sort of unpack that a bit.
All right.
And because what I'm talking about is because of the immediacy of, you know, digital music.
Mm-hmm.
The availability, the
ease of access.
Yeah. People, and I think I can generalize, people expect to get this stuff as soon as it's available
mm-hmm.
and have very little qualms getting it for free. and in many cases believe that they should be getting it for free.
That's exactly where I was going to go. That I think that element of the digital era is it's not strictly applicable to music.
Right.
I think it's a broader problem. But I think it did start with
music.
I think it started
Napster.
There. Yeah, yeah. I think Napster started it. And say what you will, you know, I mean, I definitely think that Napster was a good thing.
I do too.
I came out of it that whole era with both a broader taste in music,
yeah,
and access to a lot of things that to this day have still never been officially available
mm-hmm.
for legal acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there are certain things that were never just officially released because when in that era, when everything was put on CD, you mm-hmm. know, that's how music was released. You know, when it was put out on this physical disc, you had to have a certain amount, a studio, an owner of music had to have a certain quota, you know, in order to turn a profit. Otherwise, they were going to lose money and they were going to go out of business.
Okay.
So they could not cater to every musical inclination, right?
Right.
But that's one of the things that Napster started that I think is great is the democratizing all of that, you know,
totally.
Basically putting something that has one fan on the same plateau with somebody that has a billion fans, you know, and the access to them is equalized. So I think that's great. That said, I do think starting there, you had this depreciation of what that property was.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's necessarily gotten worse. In a lot of ways, I think it's gotten better. I think people have come back, you know, come back around.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many people have, not everybody. But at the same time, I also think the problem has gotten worse because I think the people who haven't come around have grown more intense in their belief that the access should be free. Or that ownership should be free, or you know, and I think it's infected now. You know, like news. You know, it's very difficult for news companies to create a product that is saleable. You know, I think movies. It's difficult in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. There are, but, and it's starting to happen with books now too, which is sort of hard. Still hard for me to fathom. You know,
The problem I foresee with this debate, right, between the music labels and the listeners of music, the music labels, well, okay, so the music labels, you know, one of their things is like, oh, you're going to destroy the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, you might, the way that the music industry operates is going to change.
Yeah.
But the people are going to make music and
Always going to be a studio to record music,
yeah,
and there's always going to be somebody who's going to be able to put it out there.
Music will always be distributed,
right?
And it's just a matter of how. And to me, the debate isn't like, oh, we're destroying this system because, like, that's the way of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
New systems come in and old systems go out,
right?
Whatever. To me, the debate should be an ethics debate,
right.
You know, like, should this artist be compensated in some way, whether it be monetary or not,
right,
for what they've created? And, you know, for me, I think that, you know, and this isn't the way it works yet, but I think maybe it will someday. It should be up to the artist. You know, if the artist wants to give it out for free, then that's awesome. And they
right.
can do that. You know, if they're the type of person that's like, look, I just want people to hear my music and I don't care if I make a living off of it or what have you, you know,
right.
I'll manage to make music one way or another.
Right.
The money is not important.
Right.
You know, that's great. But if an artist is like, look, this is what I want to make my living on. I want to be able to do this and not have a job that's, mm-hmm. you know, 9 to 5 or not, I want to be compensated for what I'm giving.
Right.
I appreciate that too. That's, to me, that's fair. And there's all sorts of excuses given, like dodges of people who steal music, you know? And I mean, I have stolen music, you know,
sure.
I absolutely have. And I'm not trying to place any kind of value judgment on that because it is so easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sort of an excuse too, but I think people who are like, oh, well, you know, I don't have enough money, so I never would have heard this band if I didn't steal it.
Right.
It's like, well, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, that does suck, and I'm sorry you don't have enough money, but like maybe that's a sign, like your focus should be elsewhere, or you know, your money is better spent in this way, or I don't know, like it's difficult for me to accept that. I just want people to admit they're stealing, I think.
Right, right.
You know, like, just admit you're stealing, you know.
Yeah.
Don't try
we'll
to
be okay if
don't
you just...
act like this is you're entitled to this thing because of this or that.
Right.
Like, you have stolen this.
Acknowledge your part in this.
Yeah. And you know, acknowledge that it's ethically wrong, and then we'll continue, you know. Because there will always be people who steal things, right? And that has not stopped anything. Right.
Yeah.
Movies are still made. Books are still written.
Yeah.
Music is still played. People have been stealing those things since they have come into existence. And now it sounds like I'm okay with stealing.
Yeah.
but I just get frustrated when people act as though they deserve something.
Right.
And that's not the case, you know. The case is that someone made this. And they want you to hear it, and they either want you to pay to hear it, or they want you to hear it no matter, you know, without any compensation. And I think it's absurd to think that you deserve it, you know, like because you're their biggest fan ever, or you really understand bluegrass music, you know what I mean? It's like, no, you're stealing things. And just be okay with that. Just be okay with admitting that you're stealing. Because if you have a problem with that, then maybe you should reassess what you're doing, right?
No, you're right.
If you're coming up with all these excuses, you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, if you feel the need to legitimize your actions,
yeah.
then your actions probably aren't legitimate.
Exactly.
I'm pretty proud of that one. I just pulled that out right there.
You know, and it's, I
no
think...
No forethought whatsoever.
It's good. It's I have made things and I have, you know, tried to sell them before, right? Things that I've made. This sounds so pretentious. I am a creator of things and I try to get people to see those things. And I am extremely bad at making people buy things because I'm usually more excited at the prospect of someone seeing something that I've made.
Right.
And, but I also, you know, value the time and effort that I put into that thing. And so I totally understand an artist saying, look, I want you to buy this. I want you to pay for this.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. My problem is that no one's being honest on either side of the coin, right?
Mm-hmm.
The music labels are really scared about the way the music industry is trending because they think that it's a system where they won't make as much money or won't have as much control.
Right.
You know, whether that's
which,
true.
And I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think they're accurate.
I do too.
And I think that's a good thing.
I do too.
I think, like you said, it's not going to be an end of the industry. What it's going to be is a leveling, I think.
Exactly.
Of the industry. And I think that that's a good thing.
You're putting the power in the artist's hands, you know.
Yeah.
The artists no longer need record labels.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be so bad. And I know it won't be so bad. Cause the man said that's the way it is. And the man said it don't get better than this.
oh yeah, sell out with me tonight. The record company's gonna give me lots of money and everything's gonna be alright.
It's so easy to, like, you know, shun the man and be like, corporate. This,
right.
I'm not, why would I give them my money? Like, the artist gets a tenth of that profit, you know, and in a lot of cases, that's not not true.
Right.
That is true. In a lot of cases, that's true. Right. But I hope that once things kind of even out, that people stop pretending like, you know, they're justified in that,
yeah,
in those actions.
Yeah, they'll eventually the closer that relationship gets, the closer that people listening to music get to recognizing the people that they're stealing from as people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's a lot harder, you know, to do that, to swipe something from somebody when your relationship is.
That's the cool thing, is like the fact that we are removing the record label from this means that you, more and more, you will have to reconcile yourself with that artist, you know, because they're going to be the ones giving you the music or asking you to pay for it, mm-hmm, you know? And so you really have to ask yourself, do I want to financially support these people, or do I just want to, you know, get it any way I can get it?
Right.
And maybe go see their show when they come into town or what have you, you know? And that's cool. I love how much closer I feel to the artists that I'm listening to now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the, like, prime example I can think of is Tim Armstrong,
mm-hmm,
who you and I talk about a lot. And he's currently, so Tim Armstrong, if you don't know, is a member of the band Rancid.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty established kind of guy in the punk scene, right? A legend, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Modern legend.
Yeah,
living legend.
Living
He's
legend.
A living legend.
And currently he is almost every day.
Just about, yeah.
Putting up a new recording of some song, be it a cover or an original song or what have you, onto YouTube. And it's just, you know, usually just a still image with music,
yeah,
set to it. And it's like every day a new single. And it's free, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you could sit there, you're
just throwing them up there,
just watch it through YouTube. And it's like, you know, the fact that music is so easy to distribute now has allowed him to be like, I just want to put music online.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
And I think that there is like there's a benefit to that for him too,
yeah,
you know, because the more he's putting out there,
yeah,
the greater the chances that people are going to hear him.
Yeah.
And if they like what they hear, they're going to want to hear more. And, you know, that eventually, again, in engenders him to those,
yeah,
people, you know, like he's becoming a fixture in their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's awesome.
I mentioned RDO earlier.
Yeah,
I feel like we should talk about those streaming sites.
Yeah, we got this is a weird,
this is the
nebulous
weird, yeah,
middle
where
ground.
What do we do here?
It's
you have things like RDO and Spotify and Pandora, right? These,
mm-hmm,
are all streaming music applications or sites.
This is basically on demand music.
On demand. Well, there's varying degrees of the on-demandedness of it, right?
Sure.
Like with Pandora, you input a style of music or an example of music that you want to listen to, and they sort of create the station for you, like a radio station. So you have some control over what you're going to hear in terms of, you know, like, I want to hear stuff like Rancid, for
right,
instance.
Right, right.
And so then you'll get kind of this collection of artists that Pandora has decided this is like Rancid. And then you can kind of tweak it by, you know, saying, yes, this is what I wanted to hear. No, it was, this wasn't, you know.
Right.
And kind of fine tune it to what you want. But you're not in control. You can't choose what you listen to at any given time.
Yeah, you can't just say, I want to hear this song,
yeah,
now and play it. Yeah.
Yeah, you are beholden to what they have queued up for you.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like the radio. I mean,
it's a hyper tailored radio station.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Then you have stuff like Spotify or Ardio, whereas literally you hear the thing you want to hear, right?
Yeah. There's a search bar. You look for it. You find it. You play it.
With Spotify, there's varying levels of membership, right?
Yeah.
The free level, you have to hear an ad.
Yeah.
Every few songs, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's in both cases, like it's limited to, like through a web browser. You know, you can or through a desktop computer. Yeah.
And then, like, if you pay for Spotify, there are no more ads. And if you pay a little extra for Spotify, you can have it on your phone.
Right.
And sort of the same with Ardio. Although, I don't, do they even have ads?
They don't have ads.
There are no ads for the free service, but it's like an allotment of free.
You can only listen to it for so much. Yeah.
And then again, pay level, you have unlimited listening time. And then I think there's another level where you get the mobile version.
Right. And we're talking like $5 for one level, $10 for another level, like a month.
The question is, and here's the question, where's that money going?
I don't think it's a surprise, but the bulk of it is basically, I mean, it's basically recreated the label model, you know, where you have the provider of service, the conduit of music, in this case, it's Spotify or Ardio, is taking the vast majority of that profit and trickling a little bit out to the artists. The difference, I guess, being that it's on a per play basis. Mm. So, whereas in the record deal model, you would get, you'd be dealing with like lump sums or royalties from sales. Now it's all localized to each individual play.
Yeah.
So in a way you could say that that's a more logical and credible business model, you know, because it's literally the artists are getting paid every time somebody hears their music.
Right.
Right. But again, the problem is the disparity between what they're getting paid for that listen and what they're getting paid when you buy their music outright.
Yeah.
You know, whether you download it or whether you buy it on some kind of physical copy.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to say that the comprehensive answer to that question is that they're not getting paid as much.
Yeah.
You know, drastically.
Yeah.
Like in no way is anybody making more money off of a streaming service than they are off of somebody buying their physical product.
Right.
Yeah. Or you know, or downloading it directly from them or, you know, whatever, buying it outright. But the complication there is that these people, the artists, have to allow their music to be available. Like they can they can flip the switch at any time. You know, I think in most cases, I'm not sure if they're on a major label and the label has agreed to it. I don't know about that. That might not be the case. They might have to just accept it.
Right.
But the fact that not all artists are represented, like you can't find the Beatles on, I think, either Spotify or Ardio. So if you have a certain level of power, you can say, I don't want to be a part of this. And I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm trying to like the Beatles, so I don't want
to. So this is your year of trying to like the Beatles.
Yeah, right? Which hasn't really gotten started yet. Yeah, but
it's a slow start.
Yeah, I'm still waking
ramping up.
I'm hibernating. Yeah, it's winter. But you know, I find it interesting that the people who have the biggest problem seem to have the biggest problem with services like Spotify, and who raise the biggest stink, or you know, refuse to allow their music to be played on either of these services, are the ones who have, in most cases, already earned a fortune by the old model.
Yeah.
And this basically represents for them the acceptance of, you know, lesser terms.
Yeah.
You know, drastically lesser terms.
The Beatles, and I might be wrong, but I believe they don't actually own the rights to their own music.
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
And so the remaining Beatles, McCartney and Ringo Starr.
I forgot Ringo's still alive.
He's going to outlive them all, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Because the guy, he's the oldest of the four, too, and he looks the youngest at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at one point Michael Jackson owned a lot of the rights to their music, and it was a huge deal when it finally became available on iTunes.
Yeah.
Beatles, music. For a long time you couldn't buy it even on iTunes.
Yeah.
So that's hopefully I hope that helps you get, ramp up your year of liking the Beatles.
I almost bought some Beatles albums on iTunes recently.
Oh. Yeah.
Almost.
But you're right. Like Metallica was a prime example. They were a band who got rich off of the old system. Mm-hmm. And when this new one came around, they were pretty vocal about how they felt about it. And, looking back, I can't fault them too much, like they made the case, like, we made this music and we want to be compensated for it.
Sure.
I get that. I totally get it. The problem is they offered no compromise. There was no
alternative.
Effort.
Yeah.
And that's the major issue, right?
Yeah.
Or one of the major issues here is people want to hear this stuff, right? And mm-hmm. so they were going to go the easiest route to hear it.
Right. Yeah.
And what these people who are in charge of, music labels or, big, huge bands who have control over their own stuff mm-hmm. need to realize is that it is not a bad thing that people want to hear your music and are struggling to get it. The problem is that, you need to find the way that you can give it to them in the easiest way possible.
Yeah.
And right now that's streaming,
Yeah.
And what I try to do, I sort of go the carbon offset route with streaming.
I like that. Yeah.
All right. So I know that I'm stealing when I'm using a site like Ardio. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of like, I'm giving them a little bit of money, I guess, but not enough. Right.
Yeah.
And so basically I try very hard to purchase things to offset that.
Right.
So if I, for instance, like the Bouncing Souls is something mm-hmm. that I've recently gotten into, and I listen to a lot of it on RDO, and, the next music purchases that I make will be Bouncing Souls albums to hopefully make up for the amount of, free listening I've taken. There's been a lot. So that's kind of like how I'm justifying it for myself.
Yeah.
Is to say, well, I'm going to pay for this. This will... and then you get to a whole other debate of like, is it fair to like listen to it a bunch of times and say, well, I don't like this enough to pay for it.
Should I have paid for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, to do for this privilege?
Ugh.
It's really weird moral ground. And I have sort of a similar, process where like if I basically just ask myself, do I like something mm-hmm. a lot? Mm-hmm. If I listen to it a couple of times and I like it a lot, then I buy it, then that, but you raise a good point. Like if.
Again, why am I entitled to hear it first?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think again there, like it would be, a better middle ground would be maybe just to keep that model, keep the same service that you're getting from those things, but just give more money to the artists to the point where it is closer to or equal to what they're getting from an outright sale.
Yeah.
But the struggle with that is then you have to price it accordingly, mm-hmm. And I like to think that, the majority of people who are already paying for a subscription to an otherwise free service, mm-hmm. You don't have to pay Spotify. You don't have to pay RDO.
Right.
I like to believe that the people who are willing to pay for it would be also willing to pay a little bit more, knowing that their money is going directly to the artist, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The profits of RDO are not going to change. The profits of Spotify are not going to change.
Right.
It's just going to go straight to the artist. I feel like people would be more inclined to go along with that.
Yeah.
Does it offset the numbers of people who are not paying for those services and still listening to them? I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. It's a very weird place, and I don't know exactly where we're going to go from here.
Yeah.
But I also think it's an exciting place, and I think I'm more inclined to listen to, again, this is going back to sort of the Napster thing, like the outcome of this, if there is one good universal thing coming from all of this, it's that people are listening to music that maybe they wouldn't otherwise listen to.
Yeah, yeah. There's no risk.
Yeah, yeah.
You can freely listen to any artist without the risk of feeling like I wasted money on that or what have you. You know, you can sort of, and that just means you're going to hear more and you're going to find more artists that you love, and then you'll be able to compensate those artists in whatever way they would like to be compensated.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Maybe that's where it's going, where, you know, people refine their tastes, you know, through this process and then end up supporting those artists that they like in even greater proportions, you know, as a result. Because they found something that they like.
Well, and you become better and better at finding what you like, I think. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you start to understand what you're looking for, or, you know, what the nice thing about, you know, a thing like RDO, a thing like Spotify or Pandora is not only do you have the access, but a lot of these sites also have the ability to suggest things to you.
Right.
You know? And in that case, like, you're discovering stuff that maybe you wouldn't have before.
Mm-hmm. Or seeing what your friends are listening to and finding it that way.
I just want to, I want to talk real quick about, like, so there are these streaming sites and they're still figuring it out. Like, how does this work? How does it work well? Aside from the monetary aspect, which is crap right now, like, people aren't getting paid for the way they should. But as far as the functionality of it, RDO so far has been the best one.
Yeah,
actually sharing music and having a shared experience of community around music.
Yeah.
So that, you know, like you said, you can see what your friends are listening to at the moment. You can see what they've been listening to a lot.
Yeah.
You can see the playlist they've created. You know, there's this awesome, like, visibility into people's listening habits that is, like, you know, for instance, I like there's only a few people I know that are on RDO right now.
Yeah.
But, like, I keep a close eye on what people are listening to.
Yeah.
Because they're like-minded people for the most part.
Yeah.
And even some people who aren't like-minded musically, like, you know, I'm interested in seeing, like, investigating, well, what do they like about this or.
Yeah,
you know, oh, that's weird. They listen to that album. You know, it's really cool.
It's
really
a way of getting to know your friends better, or, you know, people you don't even know.
And so I hope that they, you know, RDO, and I hope other services kind of follow that style or that template. You know,
yeah,
and that, you know, we work out the whole compensation thing. But it's really exciting that there's now this, like, I don't even know how to describe it, this way to just share.
It's like communal discovery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're always finding new stuff and other people are finding new stuff at the same time.
And I think it's the new, this is a big statement, I think it's the new mixtape, you know, like, this is the modern mixtape. And where I can, it's
collaborative.
Yeah.
It's a collaborative mixtape.
And it can be the you know, exact equivalent where I could build a playlist for someone and say, like, listen to this, you know, and I put it in the order that you should listen to it, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it's also just like I can one-off send songs to people and be like, check this out.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, you know, together we can sort of, like, discover things piecemeal and you know, open whole new worlds of music.
Whole new worlds of music.
It's awesome. But we're stealing.
Yeah. So stop doing that.
We gotta stop stealing.
We'll stop doing that if you stop doing that.
Maybe. Whoa, God, what if someone steals this archive?
Oh, but it's free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can steal this. How can you reverse steal it?
I don't know.
Like pay us because you loved it so much.
Oh yeah, you can definitely.
We have a donate page.
We do. We have a donation. Page.
Hey, there you go. You love us as artists, right?
If you don't want to steal from us,
you're stealing from us right now.
Right, totally. God, you're a jerk.
We don't do this for fun. We're doing this because we want to make a lot of money
right,
off of it.
Yeah.
So please go to the donut. Oh no!
Please give us donuts.
Oh, go to the donut page and go ahead and send us. I like the regular cake donut. Did we went over this on breakfast.
Vanilla Long Johns. Yeah, we talked
about
it.
You like the Long Johns, so please do send the donuts. And we'll keep making these hour guys. Let's put this one away.